The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Our scripture reading for this morning is full of questions. In Greek, some of them are ooh questions. Expect the answer yes. Others are may questions. Expect the answer no. But really, they all boil down to just one. Who is Jesus of Nazareth? A prophet? The Christ? A charlatan? None of the above. There was a real difference of opinion among the people about Jesus, but interestingly, none among the authorities, Nicodemus excepted. They all had their minds made up. None of them believed, and they didn't want anybody else to do so either. In fact, they cursed the crowd for their ignorance. Now, this question is still an important one. Who is Jesus? Indeed, this is the most important question that anybody could ever ask or answer, and it still provokes controversy. Now, however, the arguments no longer center on where Jesus was from, Galilee, or Bethlehem, but really, questions that are even more basic. Did Jesus even exist? A few years ago, InterVarsity Press put out a book entitled The Historical Jesus, Five Views. Views of prominent theologians ranging from Darrell Bock, who accepts the Jesus of the Bible as the historical Jesus, to Robert Price, that's Price, not Preuss, Robert Price attends an Episcopalian church, teaches at a seminary. He doesn't think that Jesus ever really existed in history at all, but instead simply a myth, the product of primitive religiosity, rather common in the Greco-Roman world. Now, for our part, by coming here to Cramer Chapel this morning, we are affirming one answer rather than the other. But out there, where we live and work, and where some of us minister or at least one day hope to serve the church, the situation is far different. Not just a wealth of opinions in answer to the question of our text, who is Jesus? But for a whole lot of folks, way too many folks, the question really is, who cares? What difference does it make anyway? Well, they sure thought it made a difference at the time of the evangelist St. John. Even the leaders who rejected Jesus' claims were concerned enough about him to send officers to arrest him. They didn't believe in him. They didn't want anybody else to believe in him either. But when their men came back empty-handed, too impressed by what they had heard to take action, the Pharisees got upset. "Have you also been deceived?" they said. "None of us have believed in him, so why should you?" Why indeed? In every society, even pseudo-egalitarian ones like ours, the opinions of the elite matter. People still take many of their cultural cues from those at the top of the social heap. That may mean movie stars, TV personalities, politicians, businessmen, even the occasional clergyman. But whoever they are, they matter. And what they say matters, including what they say about Jesus. So, what are the elites of our day saying about him? Now, on the plus side, there is that occasional athlete who will give thanks to Jesus for some great achievement. Now, one sometimes wonders what they say in defeat, but nonetheless, we can be grateful for the infrequent but positive comment. I say we can be grateful because in the entertainment world in general, you usually hear Jesus Christ as an interjection or an expletive, the equivalent of wow or oh my or of some vulgarity. Now, around Christmas time, it is true, there are a few efforts to cite Jesus as an advocate of peace, tolerance, concern for the poor, but there are very few who recall his cleansing of the temple, his denunciation of the Pharisees, or his pronouncement, "I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." In short, the biblical Jesus is basically ignored. But as for Jesus' followers today, well, what about them? Increasingly, they are being not ignored, but demonized, or at least marginalized. Now, these days, we are seeing this especially in connection with the drive to equate sodomy with marriage. One federal judge, for example, a Republican appointee, a Reagan appointee, no less, he described prohibitions of same-sex marriage as both a tradition of hate and savage discrimination. So, Christians are haters, bigoted, intolerant, hopelessly out of date, destined for the ash can of history unless they change. And you know what? Many of them have changed. Because trying to maintain a faithful witness to Jesus in the public square seems almost pointless. And the temptation to pull back, hunker down, change the subject, or even shut up altogether is almost irresistible. But if Christians are finding it difficult to talk about Jesus except in conformity with decadence or maybe in the most innocuous of ways, why should we expect the world to care about him either? But care about him, it should. And so should we. And not, I repeat, not for the sake of sexual morality. However important that subject may be, and I think it really is, that's not why we ought to care about Jesus. There's something way more important at stake than that. Life itself. Now, what was at stake this morning, in this morning's scripture reading, first of all, was recognizing who Jesus really was. That's what they were arguing about. But St. John tells us later in the gospel that to answer that very question was his purpose in writing. These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, for human beings to know not only that there is a God, but also who that God really is probably the most important thing that we can know. And Jesus is the key to that revelation. Again, quoting the prologue this time, John writes, "No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side," that's Jesus again, "he has made him known." But you know, there's even more to it than that. Whenever human beings confront their own frailties, physical, material, moral, whatever, they soon realize that they are helpless to overcome them in any sort of final way. Relationships sour, hurts are given as well as received, bad habits persist and bodies break down. So life keeps on heading in just one direction, into death. But now let's complete the passage regarding John's purpose. These are written, he says, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Jesus is both the great revealer and the great redeemer. He's the one who, by his saving life, death, and resurrection, rescues us from this present evil age and prepares us, indeed, grants us another. Now, that's why it's important to know who he is. And that's also why we care, and that's why the rest of the world should care as well. Now, life is full of questions. Not all of them are very important, but the one raised by this morning's scripture reading really is, who is Jesus of Nazareth? Now, it really doesn't matter whether you phrase this question with an ooh or a may, because it's not about your expectations. No matter what you think or expect the answer should be, God himself has given the final truth. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and in him God grants you life, real and eternal life. That's the answer. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.